with malice toward none, and charity for all. You know who said those words? Who? Yeah, Abraham Lincoln, sure. Yeah, anybody remember what speech they were included in? What is it? No, not the Gettysburg Address. The second inaugural speech. And one of the things that's significant about them is not just the words themselves, but the fact that he was inaugurated. It was his second inauguration on March the 4th, and just a matter of weeks later, he was assassinated. And so these words even have greater significance because of the timeline of his life and death. Anybody go to see the movie Lincoln? Yeah. Pretty terrific movie, I think. I went together with some family members just on Friday and was really, really moved by that film. I thought Steven Spielberg did a really good job of portraying, of an honest portrayal of the life of Abraham Lincoln, that it illustrated both his character and his ethics, but also the fact that he was a human being that had some flaws as well. He was a real person. And the reason we treasure his words is not because the words were so outstanding, but because his life was so outstanding. His words have significance to us because his life had so much significance. And that's what I'd like to talk about today as we relate it to the Apostle Paul. For those of you who are visiting with us today, we've been reading through the book of Acts, and today is the final lesson from the book of Acts. And for the past number of weeks, we've been studying the life of Paul, and we've seen what a significant life the life of Paul was. And because of the significance of his life, there's real significance in his words. I mean, just the other day, I was thinking about all of the things that Paul had to say that have had real meaning to my life. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking that I'd like to share just a couple of those words with us and realize there are way too many to share in the context of just one sermon. That even if you think of just his one letter to the Philippians, which is a rather brief letter, but a significant letter because it was written from prison, that even within that letter, there are a number of verses that are significant to many of our lives. For instance, he begins in chapter 1 by saying that he who began a good work in you will see. Gave him that name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah, you know that as well. See, these are all just in this one little letter, so many wonderful verses that probably we're not even aware that we know them by memory. But see, you do. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. I have learned the secret of having much and having want.
I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And then Paul concludes the letter by saying, my God will supply all of your needs. Now, isn't it interesting? Here's Paul in prison, and he's encouraging those who are not in prison and saying, listen, this God who began a good work in you, he's going to see it to completion, and he will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Well, the reason those words are so memorable is because of the life of the one who spoke those words and wrote those words, because his life was so memorable, those words are so memorable. And so what I want to talk about briefly this morning, because we have a baptism coming up briefly, and I'm not going to preach my typical 11-point sermon, but want to talk about the need to allow our walk to match our talk. You know, we have that expression, if you're gonna talk the talk, you need to walk the walk. I did a little research to find out where that expression came from, and the first time it appeared in print was in 1921, about a man by the name of Howard Herring, who was part of the American Clock Company. And I tried to find out who in the world Howard Herring was and what he was doing for the American Clock Company. Couldn't find out anything else about him. But in the Mansfield Daily News, there was that one phrase about Howard Herring, that he not only talked the talk, he walked the walk. Well, that's where that phrase, according to the Google search that I did, found that that was the first time that that phrase appeared in print here in America. But the idea is as old as the Bible. I mean, Jesus himself said, everyone who hears these words of mine and obeys them or does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And when the rains came and the winds blew and the floodwaters arose, that house will stand because it was built on solid rock. And the brother of Jesus, James, went on to write in his letter, be ye not hearers of the word only, but be ye doers of the word. Well, that was kind of biblical language for if you're going to talk the talk, you also need to be willing to walk the walk. There's one other scripture that I want to point to because it speaks specifically of this need to walk the way we talk. And it actually talks about walking. And it's actually at the beginning of John's first epistle. If you want to turn to it, 1 John, which is toward the back of the Bible, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7, I think. Now, the interesting thing here is that John is writing, there's a division that is arising in the early church among the what were known as Gnostic Christians. And the thing about the Gnostic Christians is that they made a separation between physical life and spiritual life. And kind of what they taught is that if you've got your spiritual act together, your physical life doesn't really matter. You know, what you do in your physical life if you have your spiritual life together. And that sort of, we don't call it Gnosticism anymore, but that sort of attitude I have found to be existent among a lot of Christians, you know, who have the scriptures memorized and can really talk the talk, but they find it difficult to walk the walk. And listen to what John writes to that dilemma. In his first chapter. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, And in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, with God, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So it talks about the need to not just talk about, you know, the light of Jesus, but to walk in the light as well. And as I was reading this, I thought of the story of David, who was in his palace one day, just kind of minding his own business, and he looks out over the balcony, and he sees this really beautiful woman. Her name is Bathsheba. And he becomes just absolutely infatuated with her beauty, seduced by her beauty, and decides he needs to have her. Well, you know, David already has a harem, and really didn't need one more beautiful woman, but he decided he needed to have her, and she was married to one of his soldiers, Uriah the Hittite, and so he knew that if she was to become a part of his harem, that he needed to do something about Uriah. And so he talked to his general. He said, when you go into battle, I want you to send Uriah to the front line. And when you're engaged in battle, have all the rest of your troops withdraw, knowing that Uriah would be kind of caught in the crossfire and that he would be killed. And thinking that, you know, the blood wouldn't be on his own hands, David. And so that happened, and Uriah was killed, and David took Bathsheba to be his wife. But he lived in what I believe was a moral and spiritual prison. The kind of prison that exists when we talk one way, but we walk a different way. Now, no one was willing to confront David because he was the king. And you just don't confront the king about his sins the way you're able to confront your pastor about his sins, you know. We live in America. Isn't it wonderful? But God instructed one of the prophets of that day, his name was Nathan, that he needed to go and confront David about his sin. And Nathan was a rather wise prophet, and so he went and he told David this story. He said, you know, there were these two men. One was very rich. One was very poor. The rich man owned a vast number of sheep and cattle. The poor man only owned one sheep. And he loved this sheep. In fact, he used to hold his one sheep in his arms. He used to feed it with his own hand. He used to give him drink from his own cup. And one day, a visitor came to visit the rich man. And he wanted to prepare food for him and didn't want to slaughter one of his own sheep. And so he took this one sheep from this poor man, slaughtered it to feed his visitor. And when David heard that story, he was enraged. He said, who is this man? I will have his life. And Nathan said, thou art the man. It's you. And David immediately was convicted about the gap between his public life, his public faith, his public morality, and his private life, his private faith, his private morality. And he said, I have sinned before my God. And he grieved over his sin. And because God's mercies are new every morning, he was restored to his faith. Listen, it's so important that our walk reflects our talk. There is real freedom when our walk reflects our talk. I mean, imagine sitting around the Thanksgiving table and talking about turkey, and talking about potato filling, and talking about pumpkin pie, and talking about cranberry sauce, and talking about all of your family being there, but none of it being true. It's just all talk. Wouldn't that be a lovely Thanksgiving? The same is true of every part of our lives. If we only talk it, we never experience the real value of it. And so, my brothers and my sisters, let us be not only hearers of the word, but let us also be doers of the word. Let us consistently practice what we preach. Let us walk our talk as we follow Jesus, because that is the joy of being a follower of Jesus. There is the freedom of being a follower of Jesus when we don't just talk it, but when we walk it day by day. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And we confess to you that we do, all of us, have this tendency to talk in a way that we find it very difficult to walk. And help us with that. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And so our lives, as we come before you just now, they're covered by the blood of the Lamb that purifies us from all sin. And John said just a verse later that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We thank you for your word. We know that they are righteous and true altogether. They are the words of life. Help us to follow those words each day of our lives. Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.